again to another hour of What's on Your Mind. 550 K-Fire, Bismarck Mandan, the flagship for our daily conversation with the Northern Plains. All across the Northern Plains, a couple of Canadian provinces, nine states. Glad to have you along. You dial us up at 800-228-0550. Let us know what's on your mind, 701-258-0550. You can check us out online at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Connect easily with our Facebook page and Twitter account right there. My name is Scott Hammond.
And I'm Steve Bakken.
On the program today, we're going to chat with the mayor of Cavalier a little later on. Cavalier, North Dakota, is a community nestled in the northeast corner of North Dakota, and they're being evacuated because of flooding and all this rain. So a North Dakota city in crisis. We'll find out what's happening there, the very latest. Meteorologist Greg Gust will be here with the National Weather Service to talk about the rain forecast for all of North Dakota, and then the word from Washington in our next hour. Congressman Kevin Cramer will be here for his weekly update, taking your calls to talk about everything from the IRS scandal to disaster funding to the Farm Bill, Keystone Pipeline vote anticipated, and much more, all coming up on What's on Your Mind. What is on your mind today, anyway, Steve?
Well, of course, first and foremost, Cavalier and what's going on up there. It's a little odd to have to be worrying about flooding issues outside of the spring runoff and the snow melt, but that's what they're dealing with up there. All the rain, it's kind of fall out of the rain. It's a blessing on one side. It's good for the ag industry, a lot of producers, with the farmers and ranchers. I mean, we were dry out in western North Dakota. It was downright dusty out there. A lot of reports from 4, 5, 6 inches of rain around the region, and it didn't even run off. There was no runoff. It just soaked right in. So that's how dry a lot of western and central North Dakota were. And then you're seeing the effects of all this rain on the eastern part of the state. So that's still in my mind. And kind of a weather thing today, because I'm still just in awe of all the visuals that are coming from down in Oklahoma and all the tornado damage that was down there.
I'm thinking a little bit about some of those things as well, but I'm also thinking about a new sponsor we have on What's on Your Mind, and would love folks to jot this website down and go to NelsonAutoDelivers.com. This segment, of the program brought to you by our friends at Nelson Auto Center. There are not many places where you can walk in or make a phone call or go online and take your pick of three truck brands. Now, I'm kind of a Ford guy. I've always driven a Ford truck. I know you're kind of a Dodge guy. You like the Dodge trucks, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Dodge or Chevy.
Yeah. And so the folks at Nelson Auto can actually sell you a Ford truck. They can sell you a GMC truck. They can sell you a Dodge truck.
You get it all covered?
Yeah. So you got your Ford, you got your Ram, you got your GMC. And they have a nice little website, NelsonAutoDelivers.com. So if you check that out, you can go there, and they're actually located in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, which is right on I-94 if you're headed down to the Twin Cities. But they deliver free within 3 hours, and they have a VIP purchase package that includes a vehicle of your choice, clean, gassed, pulled up front for a no-obligation test drive upon your arrival. They have free delivery within 300 miles. They have free access to a service shuttle van. They have on-site financing. So I'll give you a telephone number if you just can't wait to get to a computer to check this out. 888-293-9579, 888-293-9579, or online at NelsonAutoDelivers.com. They're taking care of a lot of folks with fleet sales in the oil patch, and you know, just folks that love an option and want a bargain. And three brands, one call, one location. Nelson Auto Delivers, Ford, GMC, and Dodge Ram. A great way to go, and we welcome them as a sponsor.
You know, when you get out into the oil patch, quite often there's such a crunch on vehicles, and in trying to get enough vehicles out there for a lot of these companies that are doing fleet work out there, having the option of going, oh, you're out of fleet Chevys or GMCs or Fords or Dodges, well, we'll take one of those or two of those or a couple of those. They don't quite often have the same kind of vehicle in the fleets, because that's not an option. You just can't get all the vehicles. But they can cover it all.
They can, so wheel and deal.
Amazing.
Go to it. Anyway, that's one thing on my mind, to welcome them. Another is global warming. Flooding in Cavalier, rain, weird weather season where we really didn't have a spring, right? And we're still waiting for summer. Should be here any day. EF5 tornado now, which they say surpasses the power of the big one you know, Hiroshima, bombs. We're comparing tornadoes to bombs now, right? And this is perfect fodder for the global warming crowd to say, aha, see, I gotcha. So there's a gotcha going on. And I'm wondering if anybody out there, when things like this happen, be it flooding in our backyard, in Cavalier, or just a, you know, a lot of rain. And
well, Scott, obviously 100-150 years ago we didn't have tornadoes, so I guess the global warming people are right, correct?
Yeah, I know.
All logic goes out the window when we have natural disasters and people want to advance a political cause. So I'm wondering if there's anybody out there that has a thought about the kind of folks that take advantage of an awful situation and Oklahoma City or a community like Cavalier being evacuated to advance a political cause, and in this case, use it to suggest that there is global warming. What do you say, folks, to those kind of people that use these situations to advance the premise of global warming? Anybody buying into the global warming debate? I want to know. That's what's on my mind today, and I want to know what's on yours at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. You talk, we'll listen. We promise. Right, Steve?
You know, one of the other things you bring up the political side of that, Scott, and the two senators from Oklahoma were very outspoken because they're very fiscally conservative. And they were very outspoken with the Hurricane Sandy relief bill when Hurricane Sandy hit the East Coast. And a lot of people jumped on them because, well, you're not supporting these people. No, they weren't supporting the pork. People tried to tie money for things that were not even related to disaster relief. It just doesn't make sense with the Christmas tree bills that wind up in Washington all the time. People try to slide pork in wherever they can get pork in. And the two senators from Oklahoma, very outspoken on that and put their foot down. Good for them. And now people are trying to point fingers and go, well, see, now it comes back to you. And what about, well, yeah, but they're saying, let's cut out something else out of the budget. We need to prioritize a budget. It's like if I or you were to go on vacation and, well, now gas is up to over $4 a gallon. That's going to cut into my budget. I'm still not going to take the trips I was going to take.
There's in life something known as the gotcha crowd, right? There's always somebody looking to go, gotcha. Oh, see, and these two senators you mentioned, Jim Inhofe and Tom Coburn, are among the most conservative in the United States Senate, okay? And they believe that if you have federal disaster needs, you mentioned Hurricane Sandy, right? There was a need, that what you do is you prioritize and you say, okay, Hurricane Sandy is a need we weren't counting on. Oklahoma City funding, because of the tornado, we're going to need to allocate some federal dollars to the assistance. We're going to have to decide what else in our list of needs, all the other buckets out there, we can do without so we can take care of this priority. They just believe in basically a budget offset. But there's a lot of people going, ah, see, yeah, now you're for being all conservative there. Ha-ha, you got a tornado. Now what do you do? Well, I think you do the same thing they suggested for, as you say, in Hurricane Sandy, to go, let's prioritize. I don't think that's crazy. I don't know what our listeners think about that, but I think that makes good sense. Your example's a good one. You go on vacation or plan a vacation. Maybe you stay a little closer to home because the price of gas is too high. Or if you always go on vacation in December every year, but May, your tranny goes out, so it costs you $2,000 to put a new tranny in, maybe you postpone the vacation.
Yeah, if I'm going to Wisconsin Dells for my summer vacation, well, at $4 a gallon gas, I'm not going to Wisconsin Dells. I'm going to go to Medora.
Yeah,
some place a little closer to home.
Here's a couple of the Facebook answers on that question of whether or not if the federal government is broke, lawmakers find budget cuts to offset any help for Oklahoma or, for that matter, any disaster. Steve says, I think every one of our government officials, including all government employees, should take a 50% pay cut. And if they gripe about it, up the ante to 75% taken out. Then let them see how it feels to try and make ends meet when the government takes 50% of their pay. I don't know how that's going to work. That's Steve's solution to all this. Lisa, by the way, says Steve for president. So she likes that idea. Way to go, Steve. Yeah. And we don't have many people buying into the global warming fantasy.
How can you? I mean, the science is there. We're just coming out of an ice age. We're still warming up naturally.
Steve and Scott, says the C-mailer, there is nothing too low for Democrats like that Rhode Island Senator Whitehead. He, by the way, was the one that jumped onto the Senate floor, literally, while they're still pulling people out of the rubble, to suggest that now maybe people will recognize that global warming is the cause for this and blaming global warming. The emailer goes on to say there is no global warming. It's called the seasons. Global warming is just a lie of the socialists designed to have us all living a life like the folks lived in the Middle Ages or the Buffalo Commons.
Every now and then that Buffalo Common thing just pops back up.
Anyway, you know what's on our mind. We want to know what's on yours. 800-228-0550. 800-228-0550. The Mayor Cavalier, Greg Gust from the National Weather Service, and Kevin Kramer as guests later on. In the meantime, tell us what's on your mind. 800-228-0550. More coming up.
What's on your mind with Steve Bakken and Scott Hannon. We'll be right back after these messages.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. I want to tell you about a North Dakota product that gets rid of odors, the bad smells. This product is out of Zeeland, North Dakota. Daryl, tell us about odor medicine. What kind of smells can it destroy?
What odor medicine does, it destroys the odor molecule. Basically, you can kill skunk smell, cat urine. You can mold, musty smells. If you got a camper that had a refrigerator that went out that's got a stinky smell in the refrigerator, it'll destroy the odor in that refrigerator permanently. And that's what it does. It basically destroys the odor so the odor will not come back. We give 100% guarantee that smell ever comes back. Call us up. We'll refund your money.
The stench of rotting meat in a freezer that lost power. Think of that. That odor destroyed. If you go to GetRidOfSmellNow.com, use the promo code Scott, get 10% off your order, plus free priority shipping. GetRidOfSmellNow.com, 100% money-back guarantee. You can't beat it, and it's North Dakota made.
Man, I love that buttstock pouch on your Mosin Nagant. Where'd you get it?
Strike Hard Gear. They have lots of hard-to-find gear for us comm block shooters, like chest rigs and pouches for your SKS Duckbill magazine.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Plus, a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. Enter GCN for a 5% discount on all products at StrikeHardGear.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hold on to me as we go, as we roll down this unfamiliar road, and although this wave. Stringing us along.
We have some audio of Senators Inhofe and Coburn explaining their position on offsets for funding. Share their position here and get your take on this at 800-228-0550. With Steve Bakken, I'm Scott Hannon. This is What's on Your Mind. Who else do we have? We have Senators Coburn. Okay, one talking offsets, one talking pork. These are Oklahoma senators. Roll those, Aaron, if you would.
I, I think any time we do an emergency supplemental bill,
you're playing these, or are we?
I believe we ought to pay for it. You know, it's hard to equate when you're wasting at least $200 billion a year on fraud, duplication, and waste in the federal government that we would go and borrow more money rather than fix the waste. My constituents want—they don't want us to charge our everyday living expenses to their kids, the very kids that were rescued from the school, the very kids that we're interested in. Why should we saddle them when we're wasting money?
That's Tom Coburn. You agree with him? Is he making sense? And the other is, you know, that's again, $200 billion a year in waste and fraud and pork. And then you say, oh, let's go borrow some more money so we can do disaster relief. He's defending his position. Here's Jim Inhofe, the other senator from Oklahoma.
You said that the request for funding was a slush fund. With all due respect, is there money to help the people here in your home state rebuild?
Well, let's look at that. That was totally different. They were getting things, for instance, that was supposed to be in New Jersey. They had things in the Virgin Islands. They were fixing roads there. They're putting roofs on houses in Washington, D.C. Everybody was getting in and exploiting the tragedy that took place. That won't happen in Oklahoma.
All right.
How do you argue with that?
I agree. And by the way, what he's talking about there is that, you know, the disaster funding request for Hurricane Sandy included all kinds of things unrelated to the disaster. That's the other games they play that you were talking about earlier, Steve. That's the stuff that outrages people. So Senator Inhofe at the time said, hey, that's a slush fund. That's not disaster relief. That's a slush fund. It's a Christmas tree, right? You're trying to add all these other things and say, oh, okay, we're going to use this disaster to get something funded that otherwise wouldn't get funded. So when Senator Inhofe calls that a slush fund, now, when a tornado hits Oklahoma, people go, see, yeah, well, you want disaster funding, all that is a slush fund. Isn't this a crazy game? Any way to run a railroad?
You brought up an interesting point yesterday when we were talking about whether or not the federal government should be in the disaster relief business. Because quite often it is a business, and you're right.
What's your name?
That we shouldn't be in a business of that, but I think in a lot of cases, some of the scope of the disasters are so large, you have to have federal dollars behind it.
The reason I brought that up is because we're broke, right? So again, it comes down to prioritizing. I think what Senator Coburn is saying is, my gosh, we've got $200 billion a year in waste, so let's just get rid of some of the waste rather than borrowing more money and borrowing against the kids' future to, you know, fund these priorities. That's what I think he's making the point. I would just assume they get rid of the fraud, waste, and abuse of $200 billion myself. But until then, maybe we ought to just say, we can't afford it. We can't afford it. And that would mean North Dakota as much as anywhere. Let's go to Lynn in Watford City, who wants to weigh in on global warming. Hey, Lynn, go ahead.
Well, this is Lynn. I was just calling. I think the left are just non-religious funds and their way of saying that taken away from God is what he's allowed to happen because of sin. And God is actually, maybe there is some weather changes or whatever, but God allows that to awaken the people to first of all. You know, these tornadoes or whatever.
So
the left is trying to take that away and say there's man-made.
You may understand what you're saying, though, Lynn. You're saying the left uses global warming as what?
As a way of taking away what God's will is, or, you know, to allow the people to awaken through tornadoes, hurricanes, or whatever it might be. Most of them are godless. They're not God-fearing people. And it's their way of, you know, taking away from what God allows to happen. I don't believe it was God that brought in the tornado, but he might allow the enemy to do something like that. Because the people are turning away from God. And it's the left's way of saying there's no God, basically.
Interesting.
If that makes any sense.
No, I hear what you're saying. I mean, first of all, I don't think you're saying the left in general doesn't believe in a higher power. I think you're saying some of the people that use global warming as an argument for, hey, global warming caused the tornado, global warming caused the flood. You're saying their religion is such they don't believe these things happen. This is a Mother Nature.
They're with, you know, saying that all this stuff is in man's control and that they got the answers for everything and you just follow us. Well, you know, it's getting farther and farther away from God there.
All right, there's Lynn's theory. We'll see if others agree with you. Thanks for the call, Lynn, in a busy place on the planet, Watford City.
He just wants to bring it back to a nanny state, I think, is what he's trying to point to. The left wants that nanny state mentality and taking care of everything. That's not the role of government.
Agree or disagree, let us know at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Here's an email on gas prices. When the price of gasoline unnecessarily skyrockets, 45% from $2.90 to $3.20 in 6 months, like it did here in Fargo, vacation trips are canceled, even trips to the grocery store are canceled. I might have to turn down subbing jobs if the prices remain artificially high next fall because I won't be able to afford to drive 30 miles to the schools. With these artificially inflated prices, I can't even take a fishing trip of less than 100 miles because I could buy a lot of store-bought fish for just the cost of the gas, and that's not including wear and tear on the vehicle. It's also driving me away from the Republican Party because of their gutless wonders have not done a darn thing about it. They just rolled over and played dead and said that energy prices necessarily skyrocket, thus no Keystone XL pipeline.
All right, there you go.
Who's next?
701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. I'm Steve Bach along with Scott Hannon. George, what's on your mind? Go ahead, George.
Yes, the other day on the TV, the other night, I'm not sure, I think it was Hannity, he talked about government waste, about the pictures or portraits that Congress sent. I forget, there was a couple of people, they spent about $40,000 to have their portrait, I believe, painted. And they also had Ed Schaefer, when he was Secretary of Agriculture, he had his portrait and picture on there, too. His cost $20,000.
There's a fine example, George, of something we could do without, isn't it?
Boy, you don't have to think much, Judy, about that one.
And, you know, that isn't obviously a huge item. That's not going to pay for the disaster relief they need in Oklahoma or flood protection in the Red River Valley or anything else, but it would be at least a sign that somebody gets it, that you can tighten the belt a little bit. Thanks for the call, George. We appreciate it. More coming up on What's on Your Mind. 800-228-0550 after this timeout. Don't go away.
Here's a really good reason to shop Nelson Auto Center in Fergus Falls. 7 new vehicle brands to choose from on one lot. That means you can take a test drive in a new F-Series truck, then a new Ram, and follow that with a GMC Sierra. What a great way to compare trucks and choose the one you like best and do it all in one stop. Nelson has a great lineup of great cars, vans, and SUVs too. Ford, Lincoln, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram, plus GMC. Nelson Auto Center has them all. Your choice and the best buy always. And we deliver your vehicle free within 300 miles. NelsonFergusFalls.com, exit 54, Fergus Falls.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables, and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
I'm Scott Hennen. Steve, one of our hot topics yesterday was whether it was a good idea for the North Dakota Chamber to put up a billboard and engage in a campaign letting Minnesotans know that North Dakota was open for business. And the vast majority of our callers called and said, well, what's wrong with that statement? It's a true statement. Someone that didn't like the idea was Mark Hintemeyer. Mark is a city council member in Moorhead, and we quoted him yesterday from some of the stories, and he today agreed to join us and talk a little bit about this topic and take some calls from some of those listeners that thought that campaign was perfectly fine yesterday. So 800-228-0550. In the hot seat today, Mark Hintemeyer, city council member from Moorhead, our guest on the program we call What's On Your Mind. We're going to switch microphones. Mr. Hintemeyer,
I'm here.
Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Steve Bakken's on the other end of the line here with you as well.
Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Mark. So, first of all, you hear about this campaign, this billboard. You see the North Dakota open for business, and what's your first reaction?
Well, Thursday I was at a ribbon-cutting ceremony on 28th Avenue, which is across the interstate at a new YMCA office. And I turned around, and I see the billboard, and I go, wow, when did that come up? I took a picture, texted it to the city manager. I said, hey, what's going on? Do we know anything about that? Subsequent to that, I understood then that it was the North Dakota Chamber. And then, you know, I was really upset as I saw it. And you recall, I'm a Minnesota Moorhead city council member. You know, we're a community of 40,000. I saw it as a divider, not a uniter. In the city of Moorhead, we have great relationships with Fargo, West Fargo, Dilworth. We're a community that cooperates across the border on numerous, numerous issues. And we all work together. We, on our side, we contribute over $100,000 to the Greater Fargo-Moorhead Economic Development Corporation. We have ties across that river and the border. We tend to unite across the border to make the whole metro area a better place to live for everybody. And to plop down a sign right in the middle of my community, actually almost in my front yard, I'd live two blocks away, that suggests that somehow Moorhead is not a place to do business as well, upset me. And I think it's upset a lot of people in the city of Moorhead.
Mark, if you're not calling out Moorhead specific or Minnesota specific, mm-hmm. it's just a sign. Why get your ire up on something that doesn't have a finger pointed at you unless there's a little guilt involved?
Well, I don't know. If you put a sign in my yard that is criticizing or somehow implying that we are not a good place for business to locate as well, you know, I can take objection to that. I've tried to think this and put this analogy because it's obviously where people sit. But I would bet that if we are the size of Minot, if Bismarck puts a sign in Minot that says, hey, businesses in Minot, why don't you relocate to Bismarck? I suggest that you will have the same concern from those elected leaders in Minot.
Let's go to the phone, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Craig, what is on your mind today?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, so I got a question for your guest. Have you lived in Minnesota all your life?
This is a tough question. I've been a resident of Minnesota for a long time. I'm active duty military, so I moved around about every 3 years. I've actually lived in Grand Forks. I was a Cold War person, ICBMs, nuclear weapons. I lived in Grand Forks. I actually lived in Minot. And then I moved to California, Oklahoma, Alabama, and that type of thing. But I've been in Minnesota since 1992. I got an assignment back. I was actually the commander of the MEPS processing station here in downtown Fargo, and retired in 1999 as a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. So I was active duty military, so that's a tough, I mean, I moved around the country, but obviously been in the Midwest, and I recognize a sense of community spirit that's in the Midwest that for those people that have moved around the country would recognize this may not be there.
I thank you for your service, but I was just wondering, can you at least explain a little bit how Minnesota ever got into the financial state for us people that don't live in Minnesota? And
right.
And I was just wondering if you could explain to us a little bit what your knowledge is of how Minnesota ever got in the pickle that it's in. Thank you.
Yeah, you know that's a good question. From the context of this billboard, though, I think I'm not a state rep, senator. I have no control over what happens in St. Paul. I'm an elected leader in the city of Moorhead. We have border cities legislation that attempts to bring some parity, and actually our effective tax rate for businesses and property taxes is essentially the same as North Dakota through the border cities legislation. We also have money set aside for the border cities, which East Grand Forks, Moorhead, Breckenridge, Ortonville, and Dilworth, that helps offset some of the workman comp issues. So on one level, we struggle to unite across the border in the metro area, and we, like I said, this is one community in some sense where the border is diminished. That sign seeks to divide. The message seeks to divide. The other issue from mine, and I'm not taking responsibility for anything that goes on at St. Paul. There's elected leaders. You can have that discussion of where and what you think policies are and are not beneficial to the state of Minnesota. But I would tell you the other issue that really concerns me is this message is poking the very folks that the state legislature and the governor, in my view, is poking those folks in the eye to sign off on a diversion that the Corps will say benefits North Dakota, 96% to 97% of the benefits go to North Dakota. I watched your legislature on the North Dakota side grapple with the diversion, and because of some Herculean efforts and some negotiations back and forth, that's a very sensitive issue in the state of North Dakota. But what I don't understand is why, and I'm told these signs were scheduled to go up in the Twin Cities. We already, in the Minnesota political sense, the Twin Cities dominate the agenda, and Greater Minnesota is constantly in a kind of a tussle with policies that affect us out here. So how did Minnesota get to where they are? You know, I don't know. It's long term. That's a very long discussion. I can just tell you that the sign, which has raised my ire, and I think will bring about some concerned, brings some concern in my mind, is the message that it sends at this point in time is not beneficial to the uniting across the border and for the progression of the diversion.
Shouldn't your ire, though, be directed at the legislature that's created this environment? I mean, I would hope you'd be as ticked at the Minnesota legislature for giving the North Dakota chamber the opportunity to put these billboards up.
Right. Now, two comments for that. The local chamber, I want to applaud. They understand that message, and they were very quick to come to the defense and call for the sign to come down as well, because
we should,
they understand that.
And we didn't mention that yesterday, but we should tell folks the Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo,
which
chambers
we are a member, exactly,
are together. So there's two North Dakota cities and a Minnesota city part,
exactly,
of the Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo chamber. Their president Craig Whitney came out and was critical of the state chamber on this.
Right.
But I would, you know, obviously he has Minnesota members, so he's in kind of a tough position.
Well, the tough position is he understands the situation, what we're trying to do in the community, where we are where the border is diminished, where we're united across that border. This message is, they understand, and divides us across the border, and that's the problem. Your other comment about that. We have the city of Moorhead spends just something under $200,000 trying to affect policy at the state capitol to the benefit of what we consider in western Minnesota and the border cities, trying to mediate some of those issues that so that we can compete across the border. So we do try to affect that, but that's a broader issue.
We're talking with our guest discussing the sign, and my biggest question is, why is this any different than when I drive across North Dakota and look at a sign that says, come fish in Minnesota, come spend your vacation time in Minnesota, come spend all your money here in Minnesota on vacation? I don't look at that as any different. With the tourism signs that Minnesota puts up to try to attract business into Minnesota, whether it's from Wisconsin or Iowa or North or South Dakota or up into the Ontario or Manitoba. I don't see a difference in that. What's the difference in trying to attract business? It's a level playing field. It's just saying, hey, we're open for business. I don't see it pointing a finger at Minnesota, just saying, hey, we have options here. Maybe you should look at them.
Yeah, I guess where I sit, I do see it as a significant difference. The notion of tourism and how you go to states is interesting. I think that's part of it. What this does is, because of the location of the sign and the sense that we as a chamber and as a community here are see the border where we try to minimize the notion of the border between two states and two cities, the notion that let me back up. We are in associations with Fargo and West Fargo to bring business into the entire metro area.
Which helps each other.
Right. Popping this sign down, I mean, I would have been happy. You probably wouldn't see me if I said North Dakota and Moorhead are open for business.
Well, that's what they're saying, though, aren't they?
They're not. I mean, unfortunately.
What I'm saying is if a business locates in Fargo, Moorhead benefits, right? The employees might buy a home over there. They might shop over there. I mean, it helps the metro area.
We do, but we expect our share of business locating in our community too, because that property tax base is important for us in schools and roads and everything we have to fund.
But to Steve's point, the Mark mm-hmm. Hittemeyer, by the way, is whether city council member from Moorhead, Minnesota, taking exception with the Greater North Dakota Chamber campaign saying, hey, North Dakota's open for business. This happens, right? South Dakota's governor went to Minnesota on a business recruitment campaign. They got kiosks at the Mall of America. I mean, North Dakota's business climate is better than Minnesota. Would you agree?
I would agree on one level, although we 18 Fortune 500 companies in the state of Minnesota.
Suffering right now.
Well, there's none in North Dakota. What I'm trying to do is de-escalate this. I'm trying to unite us in the same fashion that we do across the cities already. And I'm saying this is not productive in that attempt to unify us. The other thing that is bigger than this, though, and why I was trying in the past, these words mean more than just the few number of words they are. You are asking the state of Minnesota, the state legislature, and the governor to back a $2 billion project that we all know will benefit Fargo's ability to build south in the floodplain and develop business down there. If you're going to make it a competitive issue on business, I don't think it's a great leap for the state of Minnesota, the legislature, and the governor to say, fine, do it some other way, because you need more. You need Minnesota's cooperation to build that diversion. I don't know why you want to pick a fight with those folks.
Mark
Hittemeyer.
Yeah. Should we take a break, Steve?
Well, let's take a break. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. We're talking with Mark Hittemeyer, Moorhead City Council. What are your thoughts? Is North Dakota open for business?
You're listening to What's on Your Mind with Steve Bakken and Scott Hannon. We'll be right back after these messages.
Did you know there were 78 credit unions in North and South Dakota with assets in excess of $4.2 billion and nearly a half a million credit union members? Credit unions play a very important role in the financial landscape of the Dakotas. They're unique in their structure. They're member-owned, not-for-profit financial cooperatives that return their earnings back to members. Unfortunately, most folks and even our policymakers don't understand that. Credit unions exist to help people, not make a profit. And credit unions operate under the philosophy of people helping people. That philosophy works well in the Dakotas, so the credit unions can serve their members including those of modest means, providing credit at reasonable rates and other financial services to members. And they work hard to assist their members to become better educated consumers of financial services. Find out more at CUontheRoad.org. CU as in Credit Union on the Road.org and on their Facebook page, the Credit Union Association of the Dakotas.
Hi, my name is Dan Bros, Chairman of the North Dakota Association of Oil and Gas Producing Counties Executive Committee. Our mission is to be the trusted and unified voice for the betterment of the citizens of North Dakota and the membership of the association. Our group of cities, counties, and school districts span 18 counties, covering a geographic area from Botno County, west to Divide County, and south to Bowman County. Our association also has a partnership with the North Dakota Coal Conversion Counties. Our communities are solving issues concerning infrastructure, roads, bridges, quality water, good schools, and safe communities. In our search for solutions, we've gathered research data relating to population growth in schools, city needs, and emergency services. For more information, go to our website and check us out at ndenergy.org. Sign up for our free weekly e-news. There's also more information concerning planning efforts in Western North Dakota on visionwestnd.com.
If you're going to have a bunker, why not have an ultimate bunker? In case of pandemic outbreak, civil unrest, biological or nuclear fallout, or EMP attacks, stay safe in your own ultimate bunker, built for lasting security for any need or budget. Manufactured in Salt Lake City, Utah, each ultimate bunker includes free food storage and all the comforts of home. Learn more at ultimatebunker.com. That's ultimatebunker.com. Or call 801-661-3900. Ultimate Bunker. You can't do better than the ultimate.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
What's on your mind? I'm Steve Bakken along with Scott Hennen. We're talking with Moorhead City Council member Mark Hintermeyer. Let's go to the phone. 701-258-0550. 1-800-228-0550. Is North Dakota open for business? And Debbie, what's on your mind today?
Well, I guess I just had a little comment to make about the the city councilman from Minnesota.
Yes, it's Mark Hintermeyer. Mark can hear you.
Yep.
Okay. I feel like that you understand the context and probably how and why the signs were put up. And I don't believe that they were put up to taunt anybody or to throw darts at anybody or to make someone in Minnesota feel bad. I actually feel like, in all due respect, that much about it is being made doesn't need to be made, and I feel like that thou dost protest too much, and that by doing so, you're really actually making the controversy much worse than what it really is. And that's just my opinion. So I think that it can, by you protesting about the signs, can actually cause much more division than uniting and coming together. So that's how I feel.
Sure, good comments. Have you seen? I wonder if she got. Has she seen the sign? Unfortunately,
but it's really, it's hard to.
You can't miss the sign.
Well, I know that, but if you and the sign could be positive, right? North Dakota open for business. I mean, that's all in the eye of the beholder. I think what you're worried about, it seems to me, Mark, is you're saying, hey, if you really want flood protection, you want state participation in it. Don't go poking the state of Minnesota in the eye.
There's two things. That is definitely one of them. This is not the time to pick a fight with the state legislature and the governor. And this is a confrontational type thing. The other thing is,
it's confrontational to say we're open for business.
It is in the context of putting it in the state.
Because you even agree that the Minnesota legislature has not done enough to make the state business friendly, right?
I do not believe that that was put there as a confrontational sign to poke you guys in the eyes. I actually think what you are doing, and I know that that may sound like an attack, but by you bringing it to the forefront, to me, it appears that you are the one who's making more of the issue than anybody else ever thought. And no, I haven't seen the sign, but I've heard what it says. And I just think that you're making more of it than what it really is and causing the controversy and making the division much deeper and wider than probably what was there before. And that's just how I feel.
No, anybody can have different views on this. What I would say is there's probably 20,000 people that drive by that sign each day. There is no way that you don't address it. Had this sign been in Fargo, I think I actually would have been less objected. You're putting the sign right in the middle of Moorhead. You're putting it in a community of 40,000 people, and you suggest that North Dakota is the only place to do business. And as I explained before, in Moorhead, Fargo, West Fargo Chamber, we're trying to bring business to the entire metro area, and this is...
We're going to keep moving. I appreciate the call, Deb. Thank you. Others waiting to weigh in, including Larry, who's next. Larry, quickly go ahead for Mark Hedelmeyer, City of Moorhead City Council member.
Well, first off, I have seen the sign, and I want an answer instead of you dodging the question this time. Did not your Minnesota State Legislature vote to restrict the amount of coal-fired electricity purchased from North Dakota? Yes or no?
Yeah, I actually don't know. That's not something I'm keeping track of. The point, though, I think you make a very good point in what I'm trying to do, and that is de-escalate this situation. Because we can point fingers across the border at issues that seem to upset or confront people from different states, and that's my effort here is to de-escalate that notion, and I believe this sign is that divider, not the uniter.
I think Larry's point is the Minnesota went first, at least in firing that shot, right? Because that's an issue that's actually in the courts.
We can talk about firing shots across all kinds of things, like out-of-state residents can't hunt the first week during opening seasons. We can talk all kinds of things where one state has sheltered and done things. I would like not to go there. It doesn't benefit us to go there and look at the past where we think we've offended each other. So,
Mark, I never saw Minnesota complaining when North Dakota was losing population, most of which went to Minneapolis and St. Paul and to Minnesota. Let's go back to the phone calls. Rose, what's on your mind?
Hello?
Go ahead, Rose.
Yes, I'm calling in. I haven't seen the sign or that, but I have lived in Minnesota all my life. And in my opinion, since Dayton has been in there for governor, this state has gone downhill. And I believe, in my opinion, that North Dakota is a Christian state, and they do not have gay marriage there, and we might even think about moving there, because it just totally upset me in this state.
Rose is for the sign. How about are the folks you're hearing from, your constituents in Moorhead?
Everybody is against that sign and take it kind of as that divider.
All right, one last quick call here. Let's get Darwin in. Darwin's calling from somewhere in North Dakota. Your take on it, Darwin? You there, Darwin?
Yes.
Well, we're having trouble hearing you. Bad connection. Sorry, let's try Jeff in Valley City. Jeff, quickly go ahead.
Hi there. I'm just going to say, why don't he put up a sign that says Minnesota's open for business?
Yeah, you know, that, That is that discussion again that I'm trying to. We're not looking to divide across the line here.
Why don't you put up a sign and say, "Hey, so are we," next to it.
How do you spell nan and a nana?
Yeah. It does no good to continue to divide us.
Interesting take. Mark Inamar, thanks for taking the call.
Absolutely.
Today. In the hot seat, obviously.
Oh, it's great.
Yes,
it's great. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Steve Bakken, so long, my friend. We'll do it all over again. What's on your mind radio.com. What's on your mind radio.com if you want to weigh in when we're off the air. We're back at it tomorrow morning right here. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. If you need a building for any reason, you need Bakken Bruce. We're talking hangars. Yeah, as in put airplanes in them. We're talking industrial uses. We're talking garages, workshops, trucking, agriculture, horse barns, arenas, storage buildings, warehouse. They built churches. They built schools. They built fire and police stations. And guess what? If you call them and get a free quote, you're going to see why thousands and thousands of people in the Bakken every day are finding out why Legacy Steel Buildings are the industry leader in providing superior quality, service, and durability at the most competitive prices. But here's the deal. Everybody tells you that, right? It sounds like a sales pitch. Call Bakken Bruce, Bruce Anker, and the team at Legacy Steel Buildings, 800-237-9620. Bruce and his brother Wayne and their family have been building buildings in this part of the world forever. They'll help you out. 800-237-9620. Tell them Scott sent you.
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals for less than $100. These vegetarian meals are all natural, non-GMO, high in carbs and protein, and are packed with oxygen absorbers in Mylar pouches. They take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans, have a 20-year shelf life, and huge portions, over twice the serving size of some competitors' meals. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying direct from producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Purchase a 30-day, 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Call 541-673-6666 or visit 30dayfoodsupply.com, where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com. Got it? Get it. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com, utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
There's been a disaster, and most of you don't even realize the serious concern for all of us. Alex Jones has warned you for years to get the most important supply you can for your liberty, freedom, and security, and that's food. We thought the danger was drought, or food diverted to our gas tanks, or food so expensive that we'd all need financial assistance to afford it, or our food being sold to other countries. But here's the most effective way you'll lose your liberty and security without a fight: government regulation. The do-it-yourself public services of many LDS Mormon food storage canneries can no longer be provided. This, along with the recent private gardening and farming regulations and additional government control of food supplies and resources, says food is the ultimate priority. eFoods Direct will provide free shipping on all food orders until further notice. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.